Welcome to The Author Show, where we present new authors and books. From fiction to self-help and everything in between, you'll find it all here. To watch the TV version of our program, visit AuthorsWebTV.com. That's AuthorsWebTV.com. And now, let the show begin with your hosts, Don McCauley and Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming the program author G.J. Berger, and he is the author of South of Burnt Rocks, West of the Moon. G.J., how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, please.
Oh, I've been writing, seems, all my life. I wrote a play in fifth grade that people actually watched. That is, my classmates watched it. I've won awards for writing here and there. About 10 years ago, I decided to begin to write more or less full-time and do it seriously. And this is my first published novel, and I've got another one that'll probably come out by the end of the year.
Tell us about the book, please.
The book is the story of a young girl who becomes a she-warrior. A she-warrior in a time and place lost to history. But after her family's slaughtered, after the Romans have looted her land and all she's got is herself and her courage and her smarts, she starts to fight back and takes a stand against the Roman army that has done this.
Now, who did you write this book for specifically?
I wrote it for readers who will get a great takeaway, who will learn a lot from a detailed description of these people, this time, this place, human nature as it was then, which is not much different from today, and who just enjoy being transported by the power of words and a good story.
Now, is there any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that runs throughout the book?
There certainly is, and I think the main one is that hope is never lost. Courage is more powerful than most other things. Eventually, the best path comes to those who are patient, who are willing to wait for it, who are willing to plan for it and let it happen.
If you could compare this book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
The Hunger Games. This is really a Hunger Games set 2,000 years ago. The main character for most of the book is a woman of about the same age. She must survive, and she must fight to survive, and she must use her smarts and cunning and manipulate other people in order to be able to survive, in order to see the next sunrise.
Who are the Iberian Celts?
The Celtic people started in what we know as the British Isles, and they migrated from there all the way over to modern-day Turkey. The Iberian Celts is the name given to the Celtic people who moved into what is today Spain and Portugal.
So how much of this story is true, and how much was invented by you?
Most of it is true. Roman armies plundered that area. The good Iberian Celts and the local people had to put up with waves of Romans who plundered, who slaughtered, who raped, who carried on in the worst human way possible. These Iberian Celts took multiple stands against the Romans, some successful, some not so. The particular family and Lavina are my invention, but the tides of history, the places, the larger sweep of what happened is all, as historians tell us, happened.
What are she-warriors?
In the structure of Celtic life, women were much more the equal of men than other societies, than the Greeks, the Romans, and so forth. And as a result, some women fought side, some Celtic women fought side by side with their men fighters. Both men and women often fought naked. The women fighters of that day were every bit as smart, swift, powerful, agile, and feared as the best of the men fighters.
Why did they fight naked?
The Celts believed that fighting naked gave them more freedom of movement. They could run faster, jump higher, dodge arrows and spears and swords a lot easier. And, perhaps more importantly, they understood that a wound through dirty clothes was likely to become a death wound much more than a wound on clean skin. And they deeply understood that let's say, a sword thrust through some dirty clothes, taking some of those fibers deep into the body, dirty fibers, could become deadly, whereas a sword thrust just through the skin could heal a lot better and was much less risky.
How true to life are the structures and the places of burnt rocks?
Oh, they're all pretty much as they were. I describe what was there then, and I know that because I've been to those places. Some have been reconstructed by the Spanish government. Some, like the mountain ranges and the rivers and so forth, I'm sure have changed because the climate and farming and erosion and so forth has had its effect. But they're basically the same today as they were then, except the main village where Lavina and her family grew up is my invention. And, you know, the detailed houses and hallways and so forth, although similar to what was built then, are my invention.
Now, the main character's name is Lavina. How did you come up with that?
That means joy in her language. She is her parents' only daughter, and she came to her father through a second marriage and late in life. So she was their joy, and they named her Joy.
She does some pretty amazing things. Did women of her time and place really do any of that?
In the Celtic societies, they did. As we know, some of them fought with their men. Many of them owned their own property and land. They became skilled at most or all of the skills of men, the riding, the farming, the building. Celtic women were much more the life partners of men than, let's say, the serfs or housemaids of men, as in other societies of that time.
The fortress of Sagunto plays quite a role in your story. Tell us about that.
Sagunto, in modern-day Spain, it's Sagunt, is a town on the Mediterranean, and about a mile back from that town, it's a high, craggy hill. 400, 500, 600 years before Christ, the locals built a fort on that hill. The locals were allied first with Greece and then with Rome, and Hannibal, the driver of the elephants over the Alps, didn't like that, and he challenged Sagunto to join him. When they didn't, he laid siege to the city, to the fortress on the hill, and after 8 months was victorious. He then added structures to the top of that. Later, the Moors or Muslims added structures to that hill. The Romans added structures, and if you go to Spain and take a short ride north from Valencia, you'll stop at the town of Sagunt, and there sits the fortress, all 2,500 years of its history, right above you.
Now, your cover and your story both feature a gold necklace. Tell us about that.
The Celts of the time signaled their stature in society by the gold that they wore. And typically, the gold took the shape of a bar, of a long bar or rope that they bent and carried around their necks or carried around their wrists. That particular gold necklace or bar with the wolf heads is given to Lavina by her father with, I don't want to tell too much of the story, but with the challenge that she use that to identify her stature of nobility to round up whoever she can to fight against the Romans. And of course, the Romans, all intent on plunder and looting and gold and young slaves, had heard about this, and they searched it out, and they wanted it too. The gold torques, as they were called, of the Iberians.
Would you say that you have a specific writing style?
I wouldn't say it, but others have said that my writing style is spare, is lean, is suitable for what I'm writing about, is akin to other writers, perhaps Cormac McCarthy or others who get to the point, who don't mess around with, don't meander, who keep things moving.
Who or what influenced your writing the most?
Probably my mom, who was also a writer, but not in any overt way. It's just when you grow up in the household of someone who writes, it's pretty natural to do a little bit of it yourself. And so I started out, you know, in grade school being very comfortable with writing, writing fiction, writing things that are part fiction, part true, and I've continued that all my life.
In your opinion, who should buy this book?
This book is made for people who love historical fiction, for people who want to learn about a place and time that is sort of lost to the fog of history, but is an important place, an important time. And if things had turned out differently there, we'd all be speaking another language. And for people who, at the same time, want a really good story that's fast-moving and interesting and has a lot of layers to it.
Time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
At all the usual outlets. Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. Any bookstore can order hard or soft copies. Any e-book download service has it. I've seen it available from India to Australia to England and, of course, to the United States, either in the e-book version or in the hard copy version or the soft cover version.
Could you spell your name for us, please?
G. J. Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been G. J. Berger, and he is the author of South of Burnt Rocks, West of the Moon. Mr. Berger, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of The Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.theauthorshow.com. Fill out the form and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, The Author's Marketing Powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. To contact us, call toll-free 1-877-955-8800. That's 877-955-8800. Or visit theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.